It's good to be with the house, with the church family. I really want to look at the scriptures today in Nehemiah. How many read Nehemiah? Come on. And as I was looking over Nehemiah, and I was looking at this chapter, and looking the first chapter, and I was praying about it, and as I was praying this morning and talking to Dave, and I have so many points I want to make, but I just want to make really one point today. Who is Nehemiah? Why was Nehemiah even asking about Jerusalem? And the setting in Nehemiah, he's a cupbearer. He's in the king's palace. The Israelites have been in captivity. They've already, and this is a fact that I just for me, maybe, Dave, we were teasing each other earlier, but do you know that the temple was already built? So who was Nehemiah talking to? Was he talking to the unsaved? He was asking his people. The first question that Nehemiah's people went over and to see that they were about 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem, Judea. And they were 1,000 miles away. And some people that went and visited Jerusalem. And you read the book of Ezra and you can see that the temple was built and they were allowed to go back. And all of a sudden you look at this and Nehemiah is asking. And if you look at the Hebrew, what he was really saying, he was demanding, how are the people? What are they doing? What's happening to them? Was he asking about the unsaved? No. That just hit me today. He was asking about God's chosen people, you. And I was looking at that, and I was looking at it, and I was praying about it, and I'm going, okay, God, what are you saying here? And as I was praying about it, and it was 500 years before Jesus Christ came. They were in distress. They were completely demoralized because they had no walls around them to protect them from the enemy. They had nothing around them, and they had the temple, but they had no protection. And I looked at this scripture and I said, sometimes, as Nehemiah says, we got to be hungry to ask, how are you doing this week? How are you doing? No, really, how? You ever get an answer from someone and you say, how are you doing? I'm doing really good. No, you're not. I can see it on your face. I remember when Selwyn and I and Rennie were talking about 2 weeks ago, and are you okay with this? Selwyn actually asked me. And I said, and I gave him the answer. I said, I'm doing good. He goes, no, you're not. And sometimes we quickly want to give the answer, the Christian answer. How are you doing? I'm doing great. No, you're not. And Nehemiah was asking how are the people are doing. And I know that we have a tendency to just go through the day and just not even ask how we're doing. How are you doing? Sometimes I'll go, Don, before Dawn, even my wife, gets in the door, I'll already tell her all my problems before she even gets in the door. I don't even ask, how was your day? Oh, she'll go, slow down, Stephen, stop. We got to take time to ask one another, how are you doing? And Nehemiah, and if you look at it, Nehemiah was going, how are they doing? And if you look at it, Nehemiah wasn't just asking, how are they doing? He was pleading for an answer. What's the condition of my people? What's happened to them? And he's asking with such intensity. And really, we lose it. He goes, we just think, he says, oh, so how are you doing today? It's not the way he asked. He literally was asking with such intensity, we lose it. You ever have someone that's in trouble? We look at what happened in Texas, and we looked what happened in Florida, and I have a cousin down in Florida. I wasn't just asking about my cousin Ellen. Hey, how's Ellen doing? I was asking, how is she doing? Does she have power? Does she have everything that she needs? And then I had someone else in Texas, and I knew of the father, and I said, I couldn't get a hold of him, and the intensity of me was, how's he doing? Is there anyone that can give me an answer? That's what Nehemiah was asking. He had that same intensity of asking, how are the people doing? And as we look at this, we look at what Nehemiah did. when he found the answer. He asked with intensity, with sincerity. Second thing that he did, when he heard about it, he went down and prayed. You're missing it. He went down and he got to a place where it was so grieving. You ever have someone that's grieving so much that the intensity just, you just weep and you're crying? I've done too many funerals, but I've been into funerals where they're so distressed. Nehemiah was so distressed at the answer of what was happening with the people of Israel that he got down and he said, just leave me alone. I got to go to the Lord and pray. I got to go and pray for them. I got to find what God wants me to do. And if you look at this chapter and you look and you read in the beginning, you can lose some of this. You can lose the intensity. He listened. He obeyed what God was calling to do. He sympathized with the people. We can sympathize with the people in Texas. We can sympathize with the people that happened in Florida. But what do you do? You know, they had the big drive and they had the food. And what I'm asking you today is different than just giving some food or some bedding. And maybe you get on PayPal and you send your money. They had people sending money to the Red Cross and Salvation Army. And all that's good. But what I'm asking you today, spiritually, how are you caring for one another? How are you doing? How are you doing? What's your walk look like? Are we just going through the answers, the motions? And Nehemiah got down on his face and he was praying. And as I was praying about this, and said, Lord, search me, see if there be any wicked way within me. Nehemiah, as we read the prayer, Nehemiah says in the month, he says, they said to me, those who survive in exile, in verse 3, chapter 1 of Nehemiah, verse 3, chapter 1. They said to me, those who survived in exile are back in the province and in great trouble and distress. The wall is broken down and its gates have been burnt with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. And then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commands. Let the ear be attentive to your, and let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you this day and night for your servant, the people of Israel. And now I want you to catch this. I confess the sins of Israelites, including myself. If we just came to the communion table, and this is the key to, in order to have our prayers answered, in order to have, you know, the throne of grace, I come into the throne of grace with boldness. When we have communion, I get so bold to come to Jesus Christ because I know my sins have been forgiven and I have access to the Holy of Holies. So I come confessing my sins and then I come to the throne of grace. This is the key. I've confessed my sins. Come on. I feel like I'm preaching here, but you hearing me? I confess my sins. And then I ask God. And he'll do amazingly more than you can ask or imagine. So if you look at Nehemiah's prayer, there's a sequence. He asked about the people. He went to prayer intensity. He confessed his sins. He confessed the sins of the Israelites. And as you read on here, he says, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father and my family. And I like what he says here. We have acted very wickedly towards you. Who is he talking to? The church. If you miss this point, you're going to think in that you're missing it. So he's concerned with the people of God. He's concerned with what is taking place in Israel. And before he can do anything, he has to realize who is the answer. He has to realize what the answer is. He comes and he listens. He asks God. He listens to the problems. He asks God. He repents. And he's repenting of his own sins and the sins of the people of God. You know, we sing. I had a friend of mine this week called me, and Bob is someone that I really, him and I talk a lot. And he said, I said, yeah, I just got to surrender to the process. And he goes, if you obey, you don't have to surrender. I don't know why that hit me much more than anyone else. If you obey, you don't have to surrender. So Nehemiah, you see, if you read the what the Israelites, they disobedient, they were caught in captivity for all these years. Then when they started to obey God, God started doing some marvelous things. What I'm trying to tell you, if we want to see the walls built around Quincy, we want to see the walls rebuilt and the enemy wreaking havoc on the children of God and the lost, we need to come to understand where we are as a church, where we are as a people, where you are as with God. So when the Holy of Holies, when I ask for God for his anointing, and I'm asking, I'm not asking, I'm knowing I'm believing that I'm going to receive that. And I'm receiving answers for the lost. Do you see where I'm at? See, if we don't get this, church, we're going to be going around saying, how are you? And you're going to say, good, doing well. Before I even came up here, I went back and I just said, can you pray for me? I just went and asked for prayer because I needed it. And that's what we got to be about, church, is transparency. We need to know that I don't have it all together just because I got this mic on. I'm saved by grace, but each day I'm being sanctified by the love of Jesus Christ. The grace of God is upon me and you. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead resides in me, resides in you. Another sermon. What I'm really trying to get across to you today, Nehemiah, he confessed his sins. He saw the need of his people. He asked intensely with sincerity. And then he went to prayer. And then again, as you read on to this chapter, he obeyed. He said, the God who keeps his covenant of love, those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servant. So what I'm trying to get across, the next steps, what do we need to do? The main point of what I'm trying to get, do you realize what's happening around you? Do you realize what's happening around you? Do you realize the devastation of the people that are around you? We see the pictures, and I hate to say it, we see the pictures down in Texas, and we see the flooding in Florida, and we see, and St. Thomas was really destroyed, and the Keys were destroyed. We see it, but we're not living it. Come on. I was on the beach all week last week, and I wasn't living a storm. What's my point to you today? I'm trying to get across to you, if you want to see the rebuilding of the walls and people's lives that are needing to rebuild. Does anyone know someone that lives are in shambles? Do you know someone? I got to put my foot and my hand up. I know too many. Do you know some of them may never come in those doors? Just let's be real. But if we go out, and we pray with intensity, and we sit on the stoop right here, and we pray, God will bring people from China to talk to you. Sitting out here praying, just sitting here. Next thing I know it, I get a 24-year-old kid comes right up to me, and he goes, are you from here? His English wasn't too good, and I kind of picked up on it, and I said, yes. And then he goes, can you slow down your talking because I can't understand you? Oh, yeah. So after about 10 or 15 minutes, I'm praying with him. Didn't know his name. He didn't want to know my name. Just came from China. He's been here for 2 days, going to school at Northeastern. I see God do something amazing just praying on those stairs right out here. And at the end of the prayer, he goes, "What's your name?" That didn't matter to him. Didn't matter to me. But when his name was Tim. And as we prayed, he goes, "I'm scared to be in America right now. Is this a safe place?" I had church right there. Right there where that stop sign is on the lawn. I wasn't even in the building. What I'm saying, I had a heart. I listened, and I've been crying out to God and been repenting for my sins. I've been repenting for the sins of what's happened in the church today. We talk about revival. We talk about it so quickly. But if we just walk and we are the church, this is the edifice. This is a building. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. You know what a cupbearer was? To test to see if there was poison in here. And he went, "Okay, I'm not dead. Here you go." I don't care if you're up here, what type of job you're doing, where you are, you bring Christ wherever you go. You have church wherever you go. No, you're not hearing me. You have church wherever you go. Listen to me. You have church wherever you go. And the Spirit of God resides within you. And if you're repented of your sins and you're in tune with God and you're fasting and praying. Now, listen, church, I don't like to fast. I'll be blunt with you. The best thing I do with fasting, I skip breakfast. And that's about it. And I've been doing that for 40 years. And so I don't know if that's called as fasting. But I do know one thing, when I pray with earnesty, when I pray with an understanding of what God can do, I can see he'll do imaginably more than I can ask or I can imagine. I believe that God wants to take this church, to take his people to the next level. I believe that God is calling this body of believers to do something that they've never been done before. But the walls are broken down in your lives. There's areas in your life that is sin is contaminated you. And we got to get to the point where we repent and then we look at the lost and we just ask God, bring me someone. He will bring people from China to talk to you. And why I'm saying that is not to say that I'm all that and more. He can use the donkey. He can use me. Come on. He can use you too. So what I'm trying to get you across is that Nehemiah was in position, you're in position to do something for the kingdom of God. You're in position. And how you get in position is by praying and repenting. Come on, I repent almost. People say, "Oh, you've been saved for 30 years. Sometimes I go, I just got sanctified just now. Grace is on me, but justification, I'm getting into technical terms, but I usually say I just got saved." And they understand the kind of the old time Christians go, "What do you mean you just got saved?" I did. The grace of God did something phenomenal to me during worship. The freedom that came upon me. Are you walking in the freedom that Christ has given you? Because people are going to look at you. And I said this earlier, and I've said it before, and I get into too many illustrations, but I'm going to do it anyways. Do you remember those days where people used to hold their Bible? They'd walk around. See, some of you do remember. They'd walk around with their Bible. "I am a Christian. God bless you." This, some people, the only Bible they'll ever read is you. The word according to Andrew. The word according to Stephen. You're like, "Really, Pastor, you're saying that?" Yeah, I am. people's lives, they're looking at you and saying, is it real? Are you for real? That gentleman that I met outside the door, and I met another person, I have a tendency to meet some people. I was down in Hingham, and I met this person. Next thing I know, and I'm praying for her loss that she had. And next thing I know, she's a Christian, and we're praying together. And she goes, what's your name? After 15, 20 minutes, we're praying. What's your name? I go to Karen Radwanski's church. I said, oh, you do? Do you know her? I said, yeah. What do you do for a living? I said, it really doesn't matter. And I told her, but the names never, it wasn't. Come on. And what God wants to do is rebuild some of the walls that are broken in your life. We all have them. We got all areas in our lives that need some work. Come on. That's why they call it sanctification. Somebody's looking, what does he mean by sanctification? There I go again, my churchology language. What I'm really trying to tell you is there's areas in our lives that need work. And there's a rebuilding of the wall that's going on in my life and going on in everyone's life here. I know I got a lot of feedback, so I'll go back up here. So the next steps that I'm looking for you to do, this is the closing. I try to get to the point, so this is it. The Patriots are on. Did I say that out loud? We need to ask about the people around us and know how they are doing. The church. See yourself clearly. Pray to God for forgiveness of your sins. Respond to the Holy Spirit when he convicts you of sin. So Nehemiah did a couple of things. He asked, he saw, he prayed, he responded. He asked, he prayed. He saw, he prayed. He responded, he prayed. Did you catch something there? He prayed. We go through this, and it says pray without ceasing. And 1 Thessalonians, it says pray without stopping. Do you know, I got these stories, these crazy stories, but I'll try to end on this one. I came up to a guy, and I was on the street, and in a typical Pentecostal, and I went up, and he was getting convicted by God, and we're at the point of salvation. I got so excited, and then I went up to him, and I said, can I hold your hands? Now bow your head. He goes, first of all, why do you want to hold my hands, and why do you want me to shut my eyes? So I didn't hold his hands. I didn't shut my eyes. We just stood in front of each other and said, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? He wanted to see if I was for real. It was the first time I've ever led someone to Jesus Christ without bow your head, close your eyes. He wanted to see if this is real. So we prayed, sinner's prayer, looking straight at each other's eyes. See if I was for real and if I was full of it. Come on. And I left him. And I got him plugged into a church. But this is what the church is needing. We need revival within us. You want revival out there. Revival starts right here. You want to see God do something miraculous out there? Have him do something miraculous in you today. Come on. We got to get it together. People are dying and going to hell, and some of us are still at sleep. This is a beautiful little communion. I got an older communion set. But anyways, we get all caught up in our relics. 1871. I'm pretty bad with relics. Right, Rennie? Yeah. People don't give a rip about this. They want to see if it's real within you. They want to see the resurrection power that resides, that the resurrection power that re, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Does it reside in Andrew? Does it reside in Anna? Does it reside in Stephen? Does it reside in Leanne? Does it reside in David? Does it reside in you? I'm going on to another sermon, so I got to stop. I told you the Patriots are on. Let's stand and pray.